Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to feel the victory of God in here today. Tell God, I receive my victory. I receive deliverance. I receive my help. I receive strength. I'm taking off like a 757. I got to tell this story before I quit. I watched the news yesterday. And you know, for the last 2 or 3 days, it's been bad weather all up in the north. Tornadoes everywhere. But I saw a little news clip. This little woman, I think it was in Kentucky, a giant tornado was right out almost in her front yard. You could see it in the distance, and it was coming right at her. Somebody had the video camera on, and that little woman was out there. Don't tell me what God can do for you. That tornado was eating up everything in its sight, tearing up houses and buildings and stores and throwing school buses around like matchsticks. You can see her on that little video. She put her hand out there and said, tornado, get away from here. In the name of Jesus, you got to get away from my house. Get away from my property. Can I tell you what Sister Gail began to do? She prayed a while in English. Then she said, don't tell me what God can't do to get his word out. Everybody watch CNN. They don't know nothing about the Holy Ghost. But they got this little woman on there speaking to a tornado in the name of Jesus. See, the weatherman couldn't do it. The meteorologist couldn't do it. The politician couldn't do it. But one little woman stood her ground and said, in the name, God, I know you got power. A tornado got power, but my God got more power. Oh, in the name of Jesus, can I tell you what happened? That thing got to running. That thing got to getting out of here. Not one board on her house was broken. Not one thing in her yard was touched. And everybody around the world, look it up on YouTube. Look it up on CNN. Baby, talk to that thing in Jesus' name. Talk to God in the Holy Ghost. That's why you need to be full of the Spirit. In Jesus' name. That tornado didn't know what she was saying. But God in heaven knew what she said. God put his arms out and protected her. Just like when the wind came against the disciples, he commanded, say, peace. Be still. Wind, shut your mouth. Get away from that believer. He will. If he did it for her, God will do it for you. If he do it for my children, God will do it for your children. If God bless you, he'll bless everybody up in here. Somebody say, God, you are healer. God, you are deliverer. I'm not leaving here until I get blessed. I'm not going to stop until the power flies. Up in here. Somebody say, Lord, deliver me. Lord, deliver me. Not just from me. Deliver me from my enemies.
Amen. God bless each and every one of you for joining me on this afternoon. I pray to God that this teaching tonight is going to be a Holy Ghost teaching. The power of God and his deliverance and what he is called to do in the season. But first, before we get started, I want to go through a little commercial break that I have in terms of telling you about Harvest New Life Church. I want to let you know that our services are going to be at 2025 Urban Boulevard, Dallas, Texas. It's going to be at Suite 208. If you take your time and go to harvestnewlifechurch.com, that's www.harvestnewlifechurch.com, and you click on the icon on the service time page to give you all the directions you need to come out and visit us in one of our services, and you will feel the power of the Word of God moving. It's going to be Pastor Patilla, who's over at Harvest Point Church, who's leading the service over there. I want you to come out and be a part of the service and hear what the power of God is doing in this season. And I just want to give thanks to my wife, co-pastor Patty Ellis. Make sure we got to get that right. Co-pastor Patty Ellis has been a little under the weather, and we pray that God is delivering her from this little angitis, this little congested that she's been having. We pray to God that she's going to come out of that. But I also want to give thanks to all the people who have been with me, continue to be with this series and supporting me in this particular series, because it's really been a good series. It's been a lot to talk about, and it's just been a lot of things that's going on in the house of God, to the point that we ought to really get our minds lined up in terms of what Christ is doing in the season that we're in. You know, there's a lot of battling going on. Even before bringing this presentation, the Lord was dealing with me so much in the spirit about what he wanted me to say. But at the same time, I had already put things down in my own remembrance on paper. But one thing about it, when you begin to deliver the word of God, and he began to tell you what you studied was for your own teaching, your own learning, you got to be led by the Spirit and hear what God is saying to you in the time that you're speaking to his people. The word of God does declare, Lord, give me a word that I may speak to your church, that I may speak to your people who you have put before me, that they may understand and realize the ways of the kingdom. Well, let's not delay. Let's go ahead and get into prayer and get started. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, as always, Lord, we declare and we decree, we speak according to the will and the purpose and the power of God. Lord, as we come forth, Lord, we ask you to put us behind the cross, hide us, Father God, and we continue to move forward to the words that come through the revelation of the kingdom. Father God, teach us to continue to come together in unity that we may be as one, knowing that through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, be that and therein. Father God, we decree a word according to your power. We decree a word according to your grace. Lord, we already know that the line is secure. We declare right now, Lord, that this teaching is on holy ground, that there's no weapon formed against it should prosper. Nothing will be able to stand and nothing will come against it. Lord, we decree according to your word, your power, and your glory, knowing through you, Father God, that everything and all things are possible to him that believe. These things we ask not of ourselves, but through the power of the Most High and omnipresent God of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray, Lord, amen. Well, those of you who joined us on last week, we opened up the study and we began to talk about the battling of the warfare of the mind. Those of you who came in a little late on today, and the open introduction was dealing with the process of just dealing with the battles, some of the things we deal with in everyday life. We just really want to be cozy here and just kind of understand that even when we wake up in the morning, there are things that we deal with. If it's not dealing with our finances, not dealing with planning the day, it's not dealing with the children, or there's something that's going on in the household, we all deal with battles. But as the word of God is coming from the kingdom, it says spiritual warfare consists of struggles against evil forces. Now, we know the forces are out there. We know the forces come to deal with us as being Christians. We are kind of like a target. And once he put the target on us, he tried to make us into a point that he can shoot an arrow to try to hit us where we are. But when we walk in the spirit, we're constantly moving because we understand and realize that it's God who's on the throne. And we also, as men and women of God, declare the word of God as we rise in the morning and begin to set our foundation. The word of God does declare that there's no other foundation that no man can build that than other than Jesus Christ. We find it in the book of 1 Corinthians. Over in the third chapter. As I said before, and I spoke a little bit, I don't want to move too fast on this, but I feel the Spirit of God moving on this. And as we open up, we talked about the process of spiritual warfare consists of struggles against evil forces in our minds. The Bible declares that the battle that we fight is not a physical plane. It's not on the physical playing field. It's a battle of spiritual ones. And this is what leads us to our study on tonight, dealing with the book of Ephesians 12. Ephesians 6 and 12, excuse me, I'm going to get that right. The book of Ephesians 6 and 12 tell us we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, when we think about that part right there, the physical man is always going to be in the way to what God is calling us to do. We know we look over the book of Galatians, we see various scriptures in the book of Galatians, talks about how we deal with all these different principality things, these different flesh desires, these different things that we just happen to just run into each and every day. Matter of fact, when you go to your Bible, you turn over to the book of the book of Galatians, you will see some of the very things that we deal with each and every day, not just concerning some of the regular things that we deal with, but as it clarifies through the scriptures, over in the book of Galatians 5, it says this. And when you look at it, you think about how it's saying this, because all of us deal with these things. And it's not that we're trying to put ourselves above anybody else or think we're better than anybody else, but we just deal with some fleshly things in our life. The word of God does declare over in the book of Galatians chapter 5, and beginning at the 19th verse, he said, the works of the flesh are manifested. Now, that's something. They're manifested. How are they manifested? And as I said before, we rise up in the morning sometimes with all kinds of dilemmas on our minds and on our hearts. But even as we begin to roll out of the bed and roll to our knees, Satan is sitting back waiting and saying, as soon as you come up out your prayer, I got something that'll knock the wind clean up out of you. So the battle is beginning. Even though we put on the armor, there are some blows that we're going to take. But the Word of God said we suffer violence, but violence is taken by force. As we look at the book of Galatians 5, it says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. This is just a taste of some of the things that we deal with in our lives. And sometimes we get to the point where we feel like, well, no, I don't deal with that. Well, we got to think about that. The Word of God does say we all fall short. Now, in this particular chapter, chapter 5, it talks about all these different uncleanness and lasciviousness, adultery, witchcraft, hatreds, and variance. Now, mutilations, I mean, we're talking about some stuff that we all deal with. Now, we're talking about something we deal with in the body of Christ, as being men and women of God. Now, we're soldiers for the body of Christ, but yet we still deal with battles. But we understand and realize that as we come together, according to what it says in Psalms 133, unity, we got to understand as a unity of man and as a unity of God. Now, he does declare that the oil that runs from Aaron's head down his beard, down his waist, lines up according to the garment and according to the Holy Spirit, that we got to stay lined up. Even though some of these things come at us, hatred, meanness, anguish, these different thoughts that come in our mind, we're battling with these things each and every day. This is why Ephesians 6 and 12 tell us we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against against principalities, against powers. These things has powers. Then when they come at us, they begin to try to trip us up and make us feel opposite of what God has already promised us to be, against powers and rulers. Now, just think about rulers and darknesses. Now, Satan never really fights you himself. He's always going to send somebody or some spirit to try to enter in somebody who's not walking according to the Word of God to try to come against you. Now, he's never going to attack you on his own, but he's such a way that he's going to send somebody out. Remember, the Word of God does declare he's like a lion. He's like one. He's not one, but he's like one, roaring, seeking who he may devour. We talk about it in the book of 1 Peter. As it goes on in Ephesians 6 and 12, it says we wrestle not against. That word right there is that we got to refrain and restrain against the things that's wrestling with us in our mind. Now, we talk about what are the powers of principalities. Who are the rulers? Satan's kingdom is not omnipresent. I mean, Satan can't be everywhere. He can't be everywhere all the time. He's not like God. So what he does, he uses people who fall short in the areas of when it seems like they're walking and straddling the fence, dealing with anger, dealing with malice, dealing with division, dealing with these contradictional things that's in their mind, and he begins to use them. And so when he uses them, he actually leads them to you. And when they lead them to you, you having a good day, somebody come and say something that you just don't like. Well, that's pricking your spirit. That's why God said you can't wrestle against that. And it's hard for me to say, even as a man of God and being a pastor, that there are some people who's going to get at you. But you got to realize and understand you've been purchased with a price. And that price is understand that you are a child of God, that you don't really belong to yourself. You belong to the kingdom of God. Now, when I say that, you got to walk with the representation to understand and realize, as being that particular man and woman of God, you're carrying the lantern. You're carrying the lamp. You're walking as an example that even when powers and principalities and situations come against you, you got to know how to hold your head up, not looking at the parallel, but looking at the vertical. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, it is hard. It's not something easy to do. Anybody that ever told you faith is easy, it's not. But what you have to understand that we live in a world that deals with flesh, and flesh is always going to be positioned to try to take you out of what God has called you to be. Now, we talked about the earlier part of that, and we're going to get into the defensive part, your defensive warfare. How do we play the defense as being a man on the team of the kingdom and going against the team of Satan? We got to get on the defense. Where's our defense? How do we put our defense together? And we go against spiritual warfare. There are two kinds of spiritual warfare. We know it's an offense and a defense. It's like we're playing regular sports. Some will play, you know, basketball, baseball, whatever you play, there's going to be an opposing team that's going to come against you. Well, I like to say that we are the people of the opposing team, but only the kingdom. And then the other team, Satan calls us the opposing team because he's coming against us. Now, we look at the book of Ephesians 6 and 16. It talks about putting the whole armor on. The arm us when we go out on the field. We know battles are going to take place. We know Satan has released some things because he knows our past. Let me say that again. He knows your past. Now, I want to correct that because I hear a lot of people say that Satan peeked into your future. He's trying to tap into what God has in store for you. Well, he doesn't tell me that according to Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah 29:11 tells me, for I only know the thoughts and the plans. Now, Satan doesn't get you because of your future. He tries to avoid you from going to the future that Christ has for you. What he deals with is the past that we once were in when we lived. Immoral sex, running out, doing lying, raiding and dating different women, women dating different men, doing unmarital things as was not a part of the kingdom. And what he does means drinking, clubbing. We know what we're talking about. I just didn't come a preacher overnight. These things Satan try to come at us, lustful desires, these things of temptation, financial difficulties. But God has studied, declaring the word through the word of Jeremiah 29:11 that he says it. And he tells us, I know the thoughts and I know the plan that I have for you. It's good and not of evil. But I want to say that and I want to stop right here. We don't want to go out of the book of Ephesians, but I want to flip you over to something to show you a sure word that's coming from the kingdom of God. Let's flip over to the book of Mark. I want to show you some how God declares his words. Now, we understand in the book of Isaiah, it says in 55 that his word will not go void. He says, so forth will the word go forth out of my mouth, it will not go void. But God protects his word over here in the book of St. Mark's, over in the 11th chapter. And I want you to hear this real good when I say this, that the word of God puts the word in your mouth. That's like he says in Isaiah 55:17, the words go forth. If you're a child of God, you're a woman of God, you're speaking the word of God, your job is to declare the word and speak it and know it's going to come to pass. Remember what the book of Numbers tells us in Numbers 23:19-20, am I God that I shall lie, or a son of a man that I shall have to repent? Now he comes to tell us once again in the book of Psalms also, he says in 89:34, my covenants I will not break. I will not break my covenants. So he declares the word that you've been a child of the kingdom, and you know you got parental rights to be able to declare and speak things. According to Romans 4:17, call things to be not, though if they were, and know that they're going to come to full fruition. He says it like this in Mark 11:23. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that whatever you shall say out of your mouth, say to the mountain, but I shall be removed, but thou cast into the sea, and should not doubt in his heart, and it's a heart thing, but shall believe that those things what he saith shall come to pass. Now, me, I don't know how many times a person got to tell you one scripture, you get what you say. You know, I can't understand that. If you speak it, then you got to understand the stance here and declare it. That if God gave you the wisdom and knowledge to understand that everything he provided you is coming from the kingdom, we got to stand with a sure foot and know that God's going to do just what he says he's going to do. Now, we understand we're getting back to the book of Ephesians. He makes it very clear about the defense mode. Now, God has given us a defense system, according to Ephesians 6:16. Now, we got to put on the armor, but he didn't say we're not going to catch blows. He didn't say the blows won't come. Matter of fact, they're going to come harder than ever before because now you're representing the kingdom of God. Now, Satan doesn't care whether you're a preacher, whether you're an apostle, whether you're a prophet, whether you got a car on, whatever. Satan's going to come at you bold as he know how, just like when you're on the opposing team. The enemy, when you look at the NFL squads, Dallas Cowboys playing whoever they may play, they're going to try to play their best against the opposing team because there's an opposite jersey on the opposite side, and they're protecting one side of the field. These analogies I'm giving you make it so plain and simple that I ain't got to give you a bunch of shout out behind that, say, even though I believe in the speaking of tongues and the power of the movement of the Spirit. But I'm trying to teach you something tonight. And when I'm teaching you, so you can't unscramble legs, can I talk to anybody tonight? And you got to understand that you are a person that got to know how to put your defense up, knowing when Satan comes at you with warfare. Now, spiritual warfare are demonic spirits under the command. They're under the command of Satan. They are launching fiery darts. What are the fiery darts? Your past, the things that you deal with each and every day concerning what God has put in your hand. And I'd like to share a little moment right there about some things that even when God called you to do a work of the kingdom, there are always going to be opposing team or opposing person in the body of Christ, not just outside, that's trying to make you feel opposite of what God has told you to do. If God has declared a work in your hands, and we know it takes money to build a kingdom, and if God provides for you to have the things you need to have, you're going to have it. Your job is to walk by faith and understand and realize that he called you into doing this work. That's why he says in Ephesians 6 and 16, above all, now taking the shield of faith, wherewith you may be able to withstand the fiery darts of the wicked. Fiery darts are the things we deal with each and every day of our lives. These fiery darts come from the form of temptation, deception, accusations. Accusations are always going to be there. Temptations are always going to be there. These are briefly, you have the ability to overcome these very attacks because you know that you're a child of God. When you know you're a child of God, you got to stand within the ramification where God has declared you to be. You got to stand flat-footed in the midst of adversity. Is it going to be easy? No. Whenever you play any kind of sports, there are going to be some cuts, there are going to be some bruises, there are going to be some battles. But if your mind is set straight to make the goal, then you will get there. If God's giving you a vision, if God's giving you a plan, is it like it says in Habakkuk? It won't wait. It'll tarry, but it won't wait. Look, move forward with the vision that God has given you. It's an appointed time to when it comes. And within that appointed time, you got to be a man or woman of God that's got to walk by faith. Spiritual warfare and temptation. Satan cannot just freely have havoc over your life because you have rights. And when you have rights, you got to understand that 1 Corinthians 7 and 23 says that you was bought with a price. You was bought with a price to be a servant of the man of God. Not the man of God. So when you purchase with a price, that means there's ownership on you from the kingdom of God. That means he's got a guarantee on you. You ever went to the store and purchased something and asked you, do you want the guarantee on it in case it breaks, maybe happens, a tear down, dysfunction? Yeah, you want the guarantee. Because why? Because the minute you walk out of the store, you don't know what product can happen to that particular product. But once you got a guarantee, when you come to the Word of God, you understand what the Word of God is telling you, Romans 8, 9, and 10, about the confession of your mouth and the believing of your heart, then you shall be saved. Baby, you done signed the contract. You're now on the mission field. And when you're on the mission field, there are some things that's going to likely come at you that you may not like, but you got to endure as a good soldier and know that God is going to perform his word and what he said he's going to do. Well, what does Satan do? Talk about that a little bit. What does Satan do? You know, with temptation, what does he try to get you to release your rights? Now, by releasing your rights is being letting things get into your armor, things that come at you, things that disappoint you, problems with your finances, problem maybe in your church, problem with your home, problem with your missions, problem with these things. He tries to get in and try to shake your cage. He tries to router you like anything else. When I use these scenarios as being on the football team or a baseball team or whatever it may be, Satan is trying to get inside your gear. Every now and then you see a player get hit in the field, they lay down for a while, but they get back up, go to the bench and recover and come back. You know, you may fall seven times, but you still have to believe the Word of God and what he said that he's going to do for you. We know that Satan, according to Revelation 12 and 10, that he's the accuser of the brothers. That's his job. Don't get mad when things are not going right for you. We know that he's accused and he's going to come at us. He tempts us with sin. Sin gives the devil a foothold where? In our lives. We understand that. According to Ephesians 4 and 27, he tells us that we can give, he tells us that we can give the devil a foothold in our lives through sin. Where does it enter in? When we open those little trap doors that people who say bad things about us, little temptations in our life, little accusations that come against us, you open up the area for ramification of the devil to come in. You know, so you can't give place to the devil. You can't, 4 and 27, Ephesians 4 and 27 tell us, neither give place to the devil. The devil tempted Eve in the garden because she had no place with Eve. But her life, let me say that again. He had no place. Eve was already bought with a price from the kingdom of God. And the way he got into Eve is he began to talk to her. He began to tempt her. And as he tempted her, she began to listen. Now, Ephesians 4 and 27 said you can't give place to accusations. You can't give place to temptations. You got to stand flat-footed in the midst of everything and declare God's word. Even when people say that it can't be done, you say it can be done. And you got to stand on God's word knowing he's going to do just what he says he's going to do. spiritual warfare, of deception is one of the most serious things that we deal with, even not outside church, but in the church. I've seen Satan beat up more Christians than ever before because of countless reasons of a lack of belief. Because God will tell a man of God something, tell a woman of God something, and it seems like that's not coming to pass. They begin to get doubt. You got to stand firm. And even when it seems like the strongholds are coming at you, you got to know that God's going to do what he says he's going to do. So many men of God, so many women of God get discouraged. Oh, my church is not growing. Oh, I don't have enough finance. Well, did God really give you the word? Did he tell you what he says he's going to do? He did say his word won't go void. He said, but it'll accomplish all that and therein. Your job is to walk by faith. That even when he called you into the kingdom to be that man or woman of God to do the work, your job is to stand flat-footed in the midst of whatever is going on in your life. Now, look at first. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I fear that any means, as a serpent beguiled, deceived Eve through the very stability of her mind. Now, Satan beguiled her. He duped her. He duped her in her mind, and she became corrupted to the point that she gave in not to what Christ had told her, but what Satan had told her. Spiritual warfare is like a dart. It's an accusation. It gets you where your mind is not right and ready. It begins to deal with you. Romans tells us so much about that. I beseech you, brothers, Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you, therefore, brother, by the mercies of God, you not present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. When you understand what Romans 8:9-10 says, once you come into the kingdom of God and you confess the word of God with your mouth, it's not going to happen overnight. As you begin to go through a battle, you begin to be part of the defense team for a while. But as you begin to pick up momentum, you begin to roll forward with what Christ has called you to do in this season. Satan knows that if he accusates you and he's accused of the brother, he can get you. That's why Romans 12:2 tells us your mind has got to be renewed. You got to realize and understand in the season that you're in that Christ has called you out of the world into the kingdom. That's what he tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17. The old man has passed away, and a new man has come into revelation. That means everything that God is telling us to do in the season that we're in is about to go to full fruition. But our job is to understand and realize that we read over here in the book of Mark 11:23, you got to be able to say it. If it's a mountain, if it's a problem, you got to declare and decree that if you can speak against it. I don't care what it is, whether you're dealing with health, whether you're dealing with financial problems, whether you're dealing with problems in your home, your job is to realize and understand that far above all principalities of power and dominion, not only names in this world, but everything that which is to come, Christ will surely deliver you out of the hands of the enemy. Now, me, myself, I don't like to feel I'm going to get there. But I know there's some things I deal with, and I know there's some people I come against and people who come against me. And I got to be able to stand my ground and tell them and let them know, no, God didn't tell me that. And that's why you got to be so careful about how you hear and the way you hear. Because the enemy, remember, he's moving. He's trying to get inside and make you feel opposite of what God has promised you. Let's move forward about the offense of spiritual warfare. Offensive spiritual warfare, which is usually consists of tearing down strongholds. The reason we use the word offense, because the offense moves forward. I'm a sports guy. I mean, I use sports analogies. Somebody else may move new things in a different analogy. CEOs, doctors. You know, to become a doctor, you got to study. You got to be able to show yourself. Burn the midnight oil, as they say. Make yourself accountable to the work that you're doing. That your name that you have recovered line up with who you are. So we understand the offense is an offense that moves forward. Just want to explain that. Don't want to make anybody feel like they're out of line or don't know. But an offense of spiritual warfare usually consists of it tears down strongholds. What is an offense? It's the word of God. The word of God tears down strongholds that have been formed in what your mind, accusations, temptations, illusions, things that come against you in such a way to make you feel opposite of what God has promised you. And what we have to do as men and women of God is continue to move forward and realize that in the season that we're in, that we're fighting not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness and in high places. And this is why God moves on us in such a way that we got to realize and understand that the season that we're in is very critical. Even when you think about your church, even when you think about your livelihood, even when you think about your personal life, we as men and women of God have got to stand strong in the midst of whatever is going on in our life. Now, the Word of God does say to have a good, strong offense. It goes back to Joshua 1 and 8. You say, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, out of your mouth, but I shall meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written in it. That's your offense. If the Word of God said you're an overcomer, then you're an overcomer. If the Word of God said you got to walk by faith, guess what? Even when you don't see it coming, what is faith when we think about it? The Bible says faith is the substance of things not seen, but everything hoped for. We got to know and realize that we got to believe what Christ said is going to come to full fruition. We understand this. We know this. And we believe that in the midst of what we are right now, that we know that no weapon can be formed against us will prosper. Let's get back to the book of Ephesians 6. Speaking of the weapons that we are to use in spiritual warfare, let's look at verse 17 in the book of Ephesians. Let's see what verse 17 is saying here. He said, take up the helmet of salvation. You know, your mind has really got to be protected. It really has to be protected, the helmet of salvation. With your helmet and your mind being protected, that means you can put something in a helmet, which it covers your head. You can put something in your brain. That means so of a man think, it so shall he be. So when your helmet is protected from the fiery darts that come at you, getting blows, you may get hurt, you may understand and realize in the season that we're in, Satan's going to come at us. But when we put on a helmet of salvation, which is the Word of God, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, we know that we are people who walk by faith and not by sight. Because even though it may look like things are not going well, but God said, am I God that I should lie, or am I son of a man that I should have to repent? The commandment is given. And he said he will bless. And so we got to believe that in the midst of what we're going through, God is going to do exactly what he said he would do. The sword is an offensive weapon. It meets and it tears down and destroys the enemy. But we know that's the Word of God. We know that's the Word that penetrates. The Bible says like a two-edged sword, cuts to the very bone and cinder of every man's soul. So we understand that it tears down the enemy. It is exactly the meditation that we need, which is through the Word of God that Joshua says on 1 and 8. That's the sword. When we get in the Word and meditate on it, we quote those scriptures as we go forward. People come against us in our workplace. People come against us just in everyday life. We have things that come in our mind about health. Things that come in our mind about circumstances. Things that come in our mind about our families. Things that come in our mind about finances, whatever it may be. We got to quote those scriptures. We got to believe that what God has told us is going to come to full fruition. And what we get off track at sometimes, we begin to think an opposite of what God told us. Now, if I can, I want to take time here, and I want to take you back to the book of Isaiah. Let's flip over to the book of Isaiah for here a second. I want to teach you tonight. I want to show you some things that God has been putting in my spirit about this battle of the mind. Now, when we look at the book of Isaiah, let's go to Isaiah 55 and 8. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither my ways your ways, saith the Lord. Now, God declares this, that you, whatever way you're thinking, in other words, if you think an opposite of what it says in Proverbs 3 and 5, then you ain't thinking right. Because Proverbs 3 and 5 says, lean not to your own, but you would acknowledge God in all his ways, and he will direct your paths. Remember the Word of God does declare, wide is the path and narrow is the gate. Now, there's a lot of people not going to walk where you're going. Why do you say that, Pastor? Because a lot of times when you're walking down a way, it don't look right in the eyesight of a human. It don't look like we should go the way. It look deceived. It look like it's not going to work. And when we think about that, and we nest our mind on that, like a bird on the egg waiting for the hatch, we nest our mind on that, and we understand, we think back, but God did tell me. He did say it's going to happen. So why should I believe what man tells me versus what God tells me? Let me take you to a scripture and show you something. Let's roll back over here to the book of Corinthians. Go to the book of Corinthians for a minute. I want to flip through the book of Corinthians. And let's go to the book 1 Corinthians 2. I want to show you something in Corinthians 2. This is a powerful subject right here. We're going to read out in 1 Corinthians 2 because it talks about the thoughts of a man's mind. Now, in 1 Corinthians 2, and starting at the ninth verse, well, it starts at the ninth verse, but it is written that eyes have not seen, nor ears heard. Now, he says, neither have these things entered into the heart of man, neither have these things entered into the heart of a man, the things which God has prepared for them that believe him, that love him. Now he's telling you something. You ain't seen nothing. If you understand what I'm telling you in Proverbs 3 and 5, you're going to have whatever you need. You're going to have whatever you want. You're going to understand my word. And if you're walking in faith, if your mind is lined up according to Romans 12, 1 and 2, and if you've already opened your mouth according to Romans 10, 8 and 9, then guess what? You're lining up. And if you can speak a thing and declare a thing, guess what? I hear the fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman. And it's going to avail. But we got to stand flat-footed in the midst of whatever it is that's going on as God continues to take us to the mark that he's going to bring us to. Now, it goes on in 1 Corinthians, I'm sorry, and in the second chapter, and in the 10th verse, it says it like this. But what has been revealed to us unto the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deepest things of God. Now, check this out in the 11th verse. For a man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of the man which is in him. Well, why would he say that? Because sometimes we ain't always thinking right. Sometimes our ways that we think is right before God ain't always pleasing to God. So you got to understand that the person, we as a people, we got to understand we got to lean on God. We got to lean on him to take us through this path, this tedious journey that we're on, this Damascus road, this road of Jericho, this winding road that we deal with in our lives. And we got to know that he's going to do just what he said he's going to do. Look at the 12th verse. For now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that might we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. Now that's the Holy Spirit, which leads you and guides you into all truth. That's the paraclete. He's the one, he's your coach. If you're going to play as a player, then you got to hear what your coach has to say. Now it goes on in the 13th verse. Which the things also speaketh not of the words which man's wisdom teaches, but that which is the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things to spiritual. Now that put us out of the loop, period. That it says in John 4:24, spirits talk to spirits. That's what he's saying right here. That when you understand that you're walking in the spirit, the flesh has no more dominion over you. That's what Romans, I call it the Romans road. You read Romans 1 through 8, I call it the Romans road. Getting your life right, getting the flesh out your way. I call it the Romans road. But you got to understand that when we read these things, God is telling us. Now, if you understand what I'm telling you, you will have what I told you in the book of Mark 11 and 23. Meaning when you have it, you'll know that you're lining up with me. When things start coming to full firm and full fruition, then you know you're on the right track. When miracles start happening, signs and wonders start happening around you, you know you're on the right road. It may not seem right to a man what Christ tells you to do. It's going to always seem opposite because the word of God does say a man only knows the things of a man, save the spirit of the man. That's what's in him. Now, he goes on in the 14th verse, and he makes it very clear about getting this natural man out of your way, but you understand that Proverbs 3 and 5 is one's going to lead you into all truth. But it said, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. Well, let's look what he says. Let's go back to the book of Ephesians. These things are set in principles and guidelines for your walk with Christ, that when he's going to bless you and he look back at your track record, you got a solid foundation. We go to Luke 6 and 46. Let's turn over Luke 6 and 46, and I'm going to show you something in Luke 6 and 46. I want to show you something here, and I'm going to stay in Luke for a minute, but I still want to deal with the book of Ephesians, but I want to go to Luke 6 and 46, and I want to show you something. As I flip over here, let's go and look at this a bit here. Says in Luke 6 and 46, wow, it's amazing how he says this in Luke 6 and 46. It says in Luke 6 and 46, let me get here. It says that, and why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Now listen to this. Whosoever come to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you who he is like. When we understand that we lean what God is telling us to do in the season that we're in, and not to our own understanding, Christ begins to reveal things spiritually to us. He gives us directions. He gives us a GPS map to where we want to go. He said, don't say you love me, and then don't do the things I say. But if you say you love me and hear what I say, I'll show you who this particular man or individual loved me is like. Now, he talks about the man who dug deep and the one who built his house upon the foundation of a rock. But when the winds begin to beat vehemently against his house, you know, nothing was washed away. Nothing stayed there. But a man who built his house upon the sand, his house was washed away. Now, I may suffer some storms, like you see these tornadoes that go around town, and you see these things happen on YouTube and CNN, but we got to understand, when we build our faith on a rock, we may have to go back in and straighten up a little shades or put a new little paint job on the house, but you know what? Our foundation is still there. But a person who builds his house on sand is going to be washed away. That's why the Word of God declares and speaks about in 1 Corinthians 3, you're going to suffer loss when you build on the carnal and not on the spiritual. And this is what we're building at right now. There's so many things that's going on. Talks about how they're the fastest growing church here, the fastest growing church there. Well, you know, anything that grows too fast, it's kind of it was kind of awkward. We was growing up, when I was a young child, it was kind of overlapping, in other words. It didn't have enough. It was, my mother used to call it stralloping. You overgrown. You too big before your time. You've too developed over your time. And it's kind of like, you know, like the big giant but got a brain like a little baby Yui, in other words. You know, you develop so big, but yet you still ain't got the sense to maintain the body in which you have. So in the midst of what we're speaking, in the midst of what we're saying, we got to understand and realize that Christ is in our life, and that we begin to line up with Christ telling us to line up with. We know that we got a sure word with the body of Christ. Now, he said in Ephesians 6, he talks about the sword is an offensive weapon. It meets and tears down strongholds of the enemy. What kind of enemy that you're dealing with in your mind that need to be torn down? Seek God for scripture. Seek God for understanding. Seek God for wisdom. Seek God for direction. I ain't saying go to your girlfriend or your boyfriend. I'm saying seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then he will reveal to you the things you need, and then he will give you what you have. He'll give you what you want. Then I give you a desire. Seek ye first the kingdom of God first, and then these things I add on to you. Now, the devil tells us that we're a failure. That's what he does when he battles in our mind. He tells us we're a failure. He tells us we can't do this. We can't move forward. We can't do that. We just oppose to the point that now we just ain't got what it takes, because our past was so bad. It was so violent. It was so messed up with drugs, alcohol, unmarital sex, all these things he brings against us. You know, past relationships, you know, all these things Satan try to bring against us to make us feel unworthy to what God has called us to be. But I hear the word of God is saying, if you confess to me, I will by no means deny you. I will cleanse you up. I will bring you in. I'll wash you whiter than snow. So my word to you tonight, as I begin to close this broadcast, begin to let you understand, want you to understand that you can come in contact with me here at Harvest New Life Church. You can come in contact with the work that we're doing here at Harvest New Life Church. We as being men and women of God here are designed to do the work of the kingdom of God. This is our work. We continue to move forward with Christ and knowing that through him that everything and all things are possible. God is not a God that he should lie, nor the son of a man that he should have to repent. Remember, he said the commandment is given, and he won't go back. But it's got the power to accomplish all that therein. So we as men and women, God, got to realize and understand that through Christ, everything is possible. Our job is to have the faith, to have the belief, that knowing through Christ, all things are possible to him that believe. Remember what we just spoke about over here in the book of Ephesians, in the book of Corinthians, in the book of Romans. These scriptures are foundational scriptures for a person who walks in faith. And we got to understand that where we are in Christ right now in this season, that he's looking for us to be able to understand that he's going to be our way maker. Now, he wants us to use our brain. He gave us a brain to use. Now, we got to use the matter between our brains. But he does declare that he's not a God that he should not lie. He's not a son of a man that he should have to repent. He talks about his commandments. And we believe, as of right now, as being men and women of God, we walking freely in the kingdom of God, knowing that what our offensive is, what our defenses are, that we can stop anything that come at us that's not like Christ. Because he's declared it. Speak to the mountain in Mark 11 and 23. Say what you want to say. Romans 4 and 17. Call it. Understand that. Realize that I am God. And my word will not go void, according to Isaiah 55 and 8. He tells you, he's a sure word. He's a sure word. And this is what we got to do. As being man and woman, we got to stand firm in the midst of whatever seems to be adversity. We know that Christ is doing a great work. We know that above all principalities of power and dominion, that God gave us the ability to go forth with everything we have done in the season that he has given us. Once again, I want to reiterate, I'm Pastor Charles Ellis of Harvest New Life Church. We want you to continue to come out and join us on Thursday night as we finish this series in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 and what God is speaking to his people. Because there's so much going on in the world today to the point that we're getting just discombobulated, we're getting confused, we're getting hurt in churches, people are telling us things that's not so because we're not taking the time to sit down and study the Word of God like we want to. I don't care if you can't read, get to some audio tapes, but you need to get the Word of God in you. You need to know the Word of God for yourself because God's got a word for each and every one of us in the season that we're in. Now, I want to give these directions to you once again. You know, we go to the website, you see all the directions to the church, and where we are located on Sunday afternoon, Sunday morning. We have a broadcast road here Sunday morning as well, and also we have a church event going on as well. And I want you to go to the website, www.harvestnewlifechurch.com. There you see all the information you need about the whereabouts, where we're located, and what services are taking place. And I would love for you to go out and visit. Now, we have Pastor Willie Patilla that's going to be over there doing the service. It's at his church, it's Harvest Point. And we're going to see you guys there. We want you to continue to walk by faith and not by sight. As always, I got to open up the doors of invitation. If that's anyone, I feel, there's anyone who's out there who's struggling in their life, who's struggling with temptation, who's struggling with the ability of saying, I can't do it. Let's release you in the spirit right now. And let's declare that God has dominion over your life so the enemy who's trying to come against you don't have no power at all. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, even as I begin to pray, I'm asking you to open up the heart and the mind of your servant. In the name of Jesus, your word is declared that you made them and made him or her in the righteousness of your image. And Father God, you have put a gift in them according to Jeremiah 1 and 5. And only you know the thoughts and the plans you have for them according to Jeremiah 29:11. I've asked you to loose the very problems in their life. Loose the very injuries that may be coming against them in terms of them having sicknesses in their body. We bind everything in their body. We declare to line up according to the blood. Father God, we ask you to open your hands to this man and woman of God that they may receive their salvation. That through you, Father God, that everything and all things are possible. Father God, I thank you for the opportunity for me to open up your doors once again. Father God, I'm asking you to look over my wife, touch her, Lord, in the midst of her cough, the things that's going on in her life, that we declare and we decree according to the word of God and the power of the Spirit, that no weapon formed against us should prosper and nothing will be able to stand. I thank you, Father God, for everything and all that you're doing in this season for your loved ones, Lord, for your believers, Father God, who trust in you, believe in you each and every day. And Father God, even as we end this episode, I'm asking you, Father God, to go into the households of each and everyone who's listening to the sound of my voice. Let your spirit move up and down and all around, Father God. Let it convict and let it arrest. Father God, let it shut down every negative thing that's not like God. Lord, I decree this word. I call it to go forth. I know it will not go back void, Lord. I knock on every obstacle that may stand in the way of what it's going to say and doing the lives of your people. Father God, I decree it. I call it being done. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Well, Once again, as I said before, I'm Pastor Charles Ellis of Harvest New Life Church. Go to our website, which is www.harvestnewlifechurch. And for those who want to call me on a personal note, have personal prayers, you can do that as well. 214-870-2146. We thank you once again, and we're asking you to join us on this coming Thursday night as we continue to finish this word that's coming through the book of Ephesians. God bless you and God keep you. I'm going to leave you with the word from Anita Bynum. I don't mind waiting on the Lord.
Whatever you're in tonight, you can come out. You say, sister, how do I get out? Praise your way out. Can I get somebody to praise your way out? You might be sitting next to somebody that may not need a miracle, but tell them I have an emergency. I gotta praise my way out. Oh, glory. Come on, I tried it and it works. I tried it and it works. He breaks every fetter. That's why. I don't care how long it takes. I don't mind waiting. Now, I don't think you heard what I said. I don't care how long it takes. If it takes him 20 years, because the Bible said if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So guess what? I'm not just waiting on God. I'm waiting in God. Because I know he holds my destiny. And the Bible said he knows the way that I take. And when he has tried me, I shall come out. Somebody just start shouting if you know that he's making a way for you to come out. I don't mind waiting on the Lord. Early one morning in 5 a.m. prayer, I had finished the prayer on Tuesday morning, and I had raised the sacrificial offering, and the presence of the Lord filled the room. And I was going through a mighty trial at the time, and the Spirit of the Lord dropped these words and this song in my spirit, and I just started singing. And it has become my anthem. And when I can't see my way out of a situation, and the devil trying to make me frustrated because it looks like God ain't moving, I turn around and tell the devil I don't mind waiting. Somebody just start shouting that. Shout it back in the face of the enemy. Let the devil know that whatever you tried, it ain't gonna work because I don't mind waiting. Dr. Pannion. Thank you, Jesus.